Final hour here on the Chase and Big Joe show. Big Joe Dubin, Dr. Craig Nick Frazier, Brandon Bigsby behind the glass, and now our favorite every Friday, the one and only forever Titans wide receiver, Chris Sanders. Chris, how are you on this fine Friday? Happy New Year to you.
Man, I'm doing good, man. Had a good anniversary with my beautiful, beautiful wife. So, man, it's going pretty good. I'm in a great mood, ready for some great things for the season. Man, how you doing, brother?
We're great, man. Real great. Ringing the new year good, just man. As fine and smiling everybody's face from what I know of, right?
That's good. Only thing I'm kind of upset a little bit is because my Buckeyes lost yesterday, and Indiana looked really, really good yesterday, boss.
Hey, I stirred up the text line a little bit about Ryan Day. What are your thoughts on the head coach?
I think he's good. He just won a national championship last year. It's kind of like this. I'm going to give you a perfect example. In 1999, when we went to the Super Bowl, and then the next year we had a great season. We went 13-3, had home field advantage. We actually had a better team. We lost. And I think the reason why we lost is because we had that time off. We came back. We ran into a Ravens team that were really, really good, and we got beat. Same thing with the Ohio State Buckeyes. They were running through everybody. You know, they have an off week, but then you run into a Miami team that's red hot and you get beat. So it was a tough situation.
That's fair. I don't know. I'm not a big fan of Ryan Day. I think when he has to show up for the big one, he just can't seem to get it done. But that's just me.
Yeah, but he won like 90% of his games.
Yeah, right? Get on him, Chris.
With the inherited team.
Yeah, thank you.
Right?
But I know he played St. Cecilia, you know, Brentwood Blaze.
There you go. The Unibears. Don't forget about them.
But at the end of the day, he still won 90% of his games. That you can't do that in college football. I understand he lost, three games in the last 2 years. What?
And he won a national championship.
Thank you. Thank you very much. He's a Buckeye fan. Thank you.
And he's got a Just for Men beard. So that tells you something else, too.
A what?
That beard is what is it?
He's saying he colors his beard.
Colors his beard, yes.
You know, I don't know, like white guys can use Just for Men. You know that one that one guy had?
But it takes the gray away, man. It makes you get that.
Yeah,
it does.
Hey, I used it for my hair when I had an afro, and it didn't work. So I don't know how it can work for me.
Which one do you look like, kid or play?
Both. Which one had the big box?
Wasn't that kid?
That was kid. It looked just like it was a little bit shorter. It was just a bad haircut, man. It was so bad. The worst haircut in America.
Well, Chris, how can you take the gray away from this Titans team after an abysmal year this year?
You know, I'm going to be positive today because it's a new year. I like it right now because of the pieces that they have. You got your quarterback for the future. You got some young wide receivers with DK and Elegant. And you got a young tight end, Gunnar Helm, that's looking pretty good. I'm not saying they're all there yet, but they're looking good. They're making explosive plays. They're exciting. They're young. You got DK. They got the all-purpose yards for a rookie to ever come in the history of the league. So you have some things that you can build on, but I still think you need some pieces to really make this team better. Look at the secondary. The secondary is names that I don't even know. I didn't even know Kimon Hall was even on the team. I'm like, who is that?
Neither do they.
But can I back a little bit? We always talk about adjustments. You remember when Artie was talking about adjustments? Look at what the Saints did. They looked at this, I think, the second quarter. They're like, wait a minute. Who is Hall? So what they do, Olave did an out and up against them, and then you have Kingston. I can't remember the other kids. Kingston Jr. or something like that. They caught a touchdown. That's what it means to adjust. Okay, I'm finding the weakest link, and I'm going after this guy I don't know. And that's what they did.
Yeah, Chris, on top of that, just I've been very intrigued with how this team has been scoring week in and week out. Obviously, in the month of December, they were averaging well over 25 points per game.
Yeah.
Just looking at Bo Hardigree as an offensive coordinator, do you think that could be a potential coach that stays on the staff next season, regardless of head coach?
I think it should, because here's the deal. If you start bringing different people in and different offensive coordinators, then you got to teach your quarterback, you know, a whole different system and all things over different technique and all that. But if you keep this kind of the one coach in place, that's going to have the same offense, a little bit of wrinkles, but have the same offense, the same terminology, the same schemes, then now you just let Cam Ward's skill set come to fruition as opposed to just thinking, as opposed to, you know, just doing the right thing. So I think you just keep him in the system and let him grow from that system.
Talking to Chris Sanders on the Chase and Big Joe show.
Guy?
All right, so the Titans take on the Jaguars. Titans got – people say nothing to play for. Yeah, they could knock the Jags out of being the number one team and winning the AFC South. So, listen, I don't see any punting on Sunday. No. Is there a different approach to the game because it's the last one? And you literally – there's nothing at stake here except you want to win a ball game. But do you think we will see some more, I don't know, not trick plays, but more kind of thing, throwing the ball down the field more chances being taken because it's the last game?
Okay, first of all, these two teams don't like each other. And it all started by Jeff Fisher when he said, this is our house. That's number one. So then you got number two is, you know, the Titans have nothing to lose. Yeah, I would see the ball thrown down the field, going for it on fourth down, doing some trick plays. I mean, even, you know, a fake punt or onside to really, you know, to kind of get it going. But everybody keeps saying, I know a lot of people keep saying, oh, it's the last game and they have nothing to play for. Yes, they do. Guys are playing for jobs. Guys love playing football. Look at last week when you on the Saints sidelines. You don't think those guys were happy about playing? Look when Olave caught a touchdown.
Right.
They're going crazy. They're going bananas. Why? Because they love football. So, yeah, these guys have a lot to play for. You're going to see some trick plays, but you're going to see a lot of guys getting after it. I think the Titans may come out with a win.
Oh, you've said that every week we do the show together.
I got one right, the Kansas City Chiefs.
1 out of 12, not bad, man.
1 out of 14.
But do we look at Jacksonville as a kind of little blueprint? Because, look, 2 years ago, the final game, I mean, Derrick Henry ran all over them. He knocked the jet. You were like, where's this team going? They weren't so good last year. Right. And now they're 12-4, man.
Yeah. But you know what it started from? Is your quarterback started to play at a high level. Because you can have a great defense, you can have great wide receivers, you have a great offensive line, but if your quarterback is making a mistake, if your quarterback's not making the right read and your quarterback is not protecting the football, you're not going to win. But see, you look at Trevor Lawrence now, he's starting to become an elite quarterback. He's making the right decisions. He's making, you know, the right choice of when to run and when not to run. Look at the game when they played against the Kansas City Chiefs. He falls down. He gets up. He wins overtime. Those are the things that kind of we're talking about. When the game's on the line, your quarterback is taking over the game. And that's exactly what's happening to Trevor Lawrence. There's no magic pieces. They got one or two wide receivers that's pretty good. They got a defense that's solid. They got an offensive line that's good. They got a running game that's okay. But it's because your quarterback is playing at a high level. That's the reason why.
Yeah, Chris Sanders is on the line with us here on the Chase and Big Joe show. Chris, last week, a week or so ago, Chase and Big Joe had on Terry McCormick. And I believe Joe is the one that asked the question about Cam Ward playing hero ball. For Sunday, what can you see in Cam Ward's game that he can eliminate not to be playing that hero ball as much?
I just think that he holds the ball too long sometimes. I think, you know, when you're drifting, you know, once in a while you're going to make a play, just like that play he made with Kinsley and then he made with DK, but sometimes it's going to get you in trouble. We saw the situation last week when he held the ball too long. What happened? Chase Young strips him for, you know, a fumble and a pick six. So I think for him, I think he's got to understand when the clock is ticking. Okay, I got to let this ball go. If nobody's there or nobody's open, I got to throw the ball away. But then on the flip side, he threw some darts last week to where you open up your mind like, man, this dude can be something great. But at the end of the day, he can't hold the ball long. He needs to protect the football to go to the next level.
And that's why I got so mad, Chris, at the last play of the game, the Hail Mary. Your job is to throw the ball down the field, not wait for a guy to get open. And from my perspective, when you're a wide receiver in a Hail Mary, what's your job?
My job is number one. Just say we're going to the bunch set. I'm the number one guy. The number one guy, I need to be the first person to get down there. I mean, Let me start that over. You have the bunch. You're 3-by-1. The number one guy kind of hangs back a little bit. The number two guy, he's the one who's on the ball. He runs straight down there. He needs to be the first person down there to make sure he tries to get, you know, the jump ball. And then number three, he's got to be second to be there to where if the ball is tipped, he can be there to catch it. Those are the things that those guys need to do to make sure that they can catch the ball. But as a quarterback, I got to make sure I throw the ball in the end zone. If I don't throw it in the end zone, then what are we doing?
Right.
We got three guys that are down there, but then they're just there and you're not in the end zone. So it just doesn't make the right choice. But at the end of the day, your number one, your number two, and your number three guy has to make sure they're in position and do their job to get the football.
Yeah, Chris, along the lines of catching the football, a guy in Chigakonkwo who's kind of caught some form as of late. I feel like it's made the decision harder for him to stay on the roster for next season.
It's tough because he's going to get a big payday. I mean, he's playing ball at the right time because he's got a great skill set, and we've been waiting to see that. You know, the last couple of years, it's like, okay, he'll make a splash here. The next year, have a fumble. He won't make the catch. But now he's making spectacular plays. Look at the one last week against the Saints. He catches a little pass. He breaks the tackle. He spins, and he gets a touchdown. That's what we've been waiting for. But I think it's going to be a hard decision for him to stay on this team this year. Why? because you have a guy behind him named Gunnar Helm that's playing just as elite as he is. So I think he might not be in this roster, but if they do, it'll be good. But if they don't, you still got Gunnar Helm.
A lot of things coming the way for the Titans in 26 with that being happened. But Jacksonville on Sunday, the Titans and the Jags playing. And you talk about Trevor Lawrence at a high level, but they got a coach who came in. We all made fun of him when he came in, Liam Cohen, about the Duval thing and all that. But, I mean, once you got – you've been on teams, Chris. Once everybody buys in
– come on, man.
Right?
That's it. But, see, here's the thing. Everybody says, hey, I want everybody to buy in. It's not about everybody buying in. It's everybody trusting in. When you can buy in, when everything is going good, hey, we're pals, but also you have a little adversity, then everybody jumps ship. But then now guys stay with it. Guys trusted it. Guys trust the coach. Guys trust the organization. And then now look at them. You know, I mean, you just imagine 3 or 4 years ago, this team was a locking staff, laughing stock of the NFL. Now what did they do? They trusted in. They got their quarterback. They got some running backs. They got some wide receivers. They got a defense that's playing well. So when you got an organization that's trusting in, you can build something great.
I totally agree with you on that, buddy. All right, man, as always, Chris, we love you, brother. Thank you.
Hey, love you too, man. Appreciate you, bro.
All right, we'll see you soon. Chris Sanders, okay, Forever Titan receiver, Oiler Titan. You ever watch his rookie reel from 95?
I may have glanced at it, but no, not.
Pretty badass.
Really?
I mean, it's pretty good. One of the best rookie receiving seasons ever in the National Football League. He scored a touchdown, had to jump over a car in the end zone at Riverfront Stadium. But
really?
Where the Bengals played. Yeah.
Is that on tape somewhere?
Yeah. I don't know why they have a car in the end zone. It's like a Buick 225, as we called in high school, deuce and a quarter.
Were they trying to, like, sell it or something? Like,
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe the maintenance guy parked there and smoking a cigarette during the break, right?
I left my hazards on in the end zone. Sorry.
I mean, you'll see it. I mean, he had to avoid this car in the end zone. It's great. And there's another one back in the late 70s. Another receiver had to jump over the car in the end zone. So maybe the maintenance guy's like, you know, I'm here early for my shift, have a cigarette, you know, sitting there and watch a game for a little bit.
Where's my leaf blower?
Yeah. I told you, man, you don't mess with custodians. They know it all, like in Breakfast Club. Carl knew it all. He knew every bit of that. All right, you ready for a break?
I am.
I'm still efforting our guests.
I do want to tell you something about college football real quick before we go to break.
Sure.
That wide receiver that transferred or went in the transfer portal for Alabama now is committed to Ole Miss.
Already.
According to 24/7 Sports, it is Alabama 100% to Ole Miss.
Good Lord. So, another example. Ole Miss has to get ready for Miami.
There you go.
I mean, is Ole Miss hired a coordinator yet?
I don't think so.
I love this. This is complete and utter chaos. And they already got a guy committed to him.
I wonder if that guy knows that OC is gone. I don't know.
Who knows?
You have to, right? Can't be that odd, right?
I would think you would know that. And then the whole thing of Kiffin's going to let those guys coach going forward. I mean, by the way, the bonus that Lane Kiffin's getting for Ole Miss winning these games is paid to him by LSU.
Yep.
I mean, this is just – it's all in the open now, right?
Salt in the wounds.
It's all in the open. So the further – is it farther or if it's both? Further or farther? Farther is a measurable distance, by the way. Further is to move a point along. Okay, so it's the farther Ole Miss goes, the more money LSU's got to pay Lane Kiffin on top of his already massive contract.
$250 every game. So a total of $1 million.
This is great. All right, we'll take another break. This is the Chase and Big Joe Show brought to you by the Omni National Hotel right here on 102.5 The Game. All right, welcome back into the Chase and Big Joe Show. I'm telling you, if you're doing your New Year's resolutions, which I hate, I prefer to be called goals.
Would you call them daily affirmations?
No, I like goals. Resolution. All right, because your resolution, nobody – you ever thought, my resolution, like my goal this year is for that. I like goals better. But anyway, the rediscovering a lot of Aussie music when you go to the gym at 6 o'clock in the morning, pretty badass.
Welcome to the
Get gym. Up, go to the gym.
It just gets you going.
Feed your mind positivity all day. Feed it gratitude, man. Ask God for opportunities. It ain't hard. Simple. Success that way. What you up to, man?
I'm following along the darts right now, to be honest with you.
All right, explain this. All right, we had this on our grid for today. We've done a lot of college football talk. By the way, Sean Henry at 2:30. So one of the biggest events in the world is happening right now. Where is this?
This is in, I believe, London, England, at the Alexandra Palace.
And what is it?
It is the Professional Darts Championship. The last four is the semifinals. You have the number one overall in the world, Luke Littler, who is 18 years old. And he has failed his driving test six times but can still win a lot of money throwing darts.
Hold on, back up.
Yeah,
I think if you fail it once, you're nervous. Twice, you're still nervous. Three times, you're an idiot. Six times, you're just a dumb jackass.
Well, I mean, six times, and he can still win a lot of money throwing darts.
Why did you have to tell me that? Now I'm going to think about how stupid he is.
I mean, he's intelligent throwing a 170 big fish right now. So, I mean, it's pretty crazy.
Do you have a 170 big fish?
I don't know if I can show that, but that's more about darts than anything. You throw three darts. It's a triple 20, triple 20, and then bullseye. That's your 170 checkout.
All right, real quick.
Yeah.
From a text line, the next 10 minutes, tell me a place in Middle Tennessee to go throw darts and have a good time.
I don't know. I just have
We are great listeners. 615-737-1025. If you throw darts, where should we go? Because I'm actually interested in this because you don't have to do a lot of fitness for throwing darts, do you?
No, not at all. Trust me, that rule number one is definitely not in the shape
you do you need to be a good dart thrower?
Just good hand-eye coordination. You just know how to
– I've had that since I was eight.
Well, then this could be you. This could be you, Joe.
Are you a good dart thrower?
I think I'm okay. I mean, I'm not the best in the world, but...
So what makes Luke Littler the best?
That he is winning championships, like, every 2-3 weeks. There's a world-renowned darts legend named Phil Taylor. He called the Power, and he has outdone him by a lot.
Oh, is he still alive?
He is,
Power. I like that.
He's even talked to him, like, on podcasts and stuff, saying, yeah, Luke Littler's way better than me.
So, I'll think of like bullseyes, right? Bullseye. Yeah. How much is a bullseye worth?
The inside bullseye is 50, outside bullseye is 25, and the small little ring on the inside of the numbers is worth three times the number, and then the outside ring is worth double the number.
So what do you want to hit all the time, the bullseye?
No, you want to hit the triples. You want to hit the small ring, which is not bullseye. I'm talking about the outside. You have 20 on the top,
right.
19 on the left, 17 on the bottom right. You want to hit those big numbers, but you want to hit the triples. So like if you hit triple 20 three times, that's considered a 180, 180 points. If you're playing 501, which is what you play down to zero, and once you get down under 167 points, you have to check out, and the last dart has to be on the outer ring as a double.
Jeez Louise.
Yeah.
This is more just throwing bullseyes.
No, you want to hit triples. You really do. You want to hit triple 20s, triple 19s. And the best thing about darts is if you throw a 9-dart finish, which is a perfect leg, you throw triple 20, triple 20, and you can check out with a triple 20, triple 19, double 12.
Anybody ever done that?
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's not common, but everybody always looks forward to the 9-dart finish.
So how many people are in this professional dart championship?
There's like, I think, 132, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong.
From all over?
Yeah, from all over. There's actually a guy from the U.S. that they call him like the suave guy. He dances with R&B music coming in. It's pretty fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can we like lighten this a little bit? Can you like light a dart on fire and throw it that way? Wouldn't that be kind of cool?
I'm sure.
Or would the fire way down the
No, you could probably like
tip.
The tip, barrel, and the flight. You can put it on the flight, and then when you throw it, the flame follows it.
So is that the metal stuff you screw in?
No, that's the tip. You screw the tip into the barrel. Barrel is what you hold, and then on the barrel you have the flight, which is what you screw in.
So you light the flight?
Yes.
I like this.
You light the flight, throw it at the board, and
you get Kirk Cousins sponsored this. You like this?
Exactly.
You like this?
Yeah. So,
are you a good dart thrower?
Because
you're throwing a lot of stuff against the wall today that's infuriating people, which is great.
Yeah, I mean, you could say so. I think my average is roughly like 63, 65, maybe 70-ish.
Well, how many dart tosses do you get?
Well, you get three darts, and you throw them, and then you have somebody else that throws against you. So normally, it just depends on how long it takes you to finish the leg, which is three. Either you're playing 301 or 501. 501 takes a little bit longer.
You get 500 points?
You start out with 501 points, right?
Okay, both you and I do.
Yep, and we have to keep throwing at the dartboard until we get to zero.
That could take hours.
It could, but if you're a really good darts thrower, you throw at the triple numbers, and that number decreases quite rapidly.
Okay, all right. I like
playing cricket because it's easier, not the actual cricket on the field, on the board cricket. You throw at the 20, you throw at the 19, the 18, the 17, and the 16, and you throw at the bullseye. You got to hit each of those three times in a row.
4923 Steve says, throwing darts at the Village Tavern on 21st and then go drink out of a dog bowl after. Is that because Double Dog's over there?
I'd assume so.
Matthew from Jolton says, I'm great at darts on GTA.
That's a video game, I believe.
I think so. Yeah. I don't play video games.
Yeah.
Dylan, the Village Tavern in Hillsborough Village is the place to throw darts in Nashville. So the villager's getting all the votes.
Hmm.
8586. This is funny. How do you become a great at darts without being old enough to go in a bar?
Well, I am 27, so I think I am old enough to go into a bar. But if you're talking about somebody that is not old enough, just go buy a dartboard. I don't know.
Joy from Bellevue says, cricket is a fun dart game. Used to always play,
mm-hmm.
but I played it in Germany. So I guess the villager is now the place to throw darts.
I guess so.
How many dart sets do you own?
I have the Luke Littler set. And that.
What'd that cost you?
I don't know. I got it as a gift. I don't know. So it's my brother.
Okay.
But all these professional darts athletes, they have their own signature darts.
All right, rapid fire questions. How far do you have to stand back?
It is 237 centimeters.
Look, this is America, brother.
Seven and a quarter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why can't you just say that?
Well, it's the first time that came to my brain.
Seven and a half feet, or yeah. 7 1/4 feet.
Yeah, something like that.
So like 90 inches.
Yeah.
Okay, stand back. And then are all dart boards the same?
Yes. Yeah, from what I know of, yes. I mean, they have some other ones that are practice boards.
Okay.
Where the rings are a little bit bigger, so you can kind of get your accuracy.
We don't want
that,
though.
No, you want to
start. How high should the dart board be hung?
That's a great question.
Thank you, buddy.
I think it's more of, I'm 5'4"-ish, 5'5"-ish, so probably hanging it around 5'8",
5'9".
You don't
know at all.
Well, I'm trying to measure it because that's what it is on my wall. I've measured it. Just.
So 5 feet, 6 feet, 7 feet?
Around 5'8", 5'9".
All right. If you are 7 feet tall, can you be a good dart thrower because you're throwing down?
The taller you are, the better it is. For me being short, it's not great because you're kind of throwing up at the board a little bit. But, yeah, if you're like 6'3", 6'4".
Will you please officially look and see how high that dart board's got to be hung?
It's going to bother you.
It is because you're just throwing numbers out there that makes me – I just want to know where it is because when we start doing this dart thing, in a year from now when we're in London, the professional dart
– You won't believe this. 5'8". I know my height, and I look at the wall, that's it, 5'8".
So 5'8", is at the top?
The height, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And then so the other stuff hangs down below that then,
yeah,
right?
And it's just a circular board.
Seven 1/4 feet away,
mm-hmm.
5'8" on the board.
Yep.
And do it. And where can you buy darts? Anywhere?
Anywhere. Amazon, whatever. Yeah.
What's a good dart?
I mean, you could buy those over at the gas station.
I mean, that's sushi.
Yeah, and sushi. I don't know if you'd recommend that. But no, you can buy darts anywhere, seriously.
Okay.
I mean, it comes down to the weight distribution of the barrel. If you like it front-loaded or back-loaded or just even. For me, I like them to be like 22 grams. 18 grams is the lightest. I like 22 grams because I can just throw it, and it has a little bit of like a dip at the end of it. So my hands are like, if this is the dart, I have it at the back end of it, and it just tilts on the back end of my hand. I throw it, and it hits my hand and then goes right onto the board.
What does Luke Littler use?
He uses, I believe, 23.
He
has a longer tip, though. His tip is a lot longer than everybody else's.
All right. Is there a minimum? Are darts all made the same size?
Not all of them. No, that's the beauty about darts is you could have one that looks like a blow dart that Indian, you know, they do the blow darts.
Sure.
You do something that size, or you can just have one that's probably the longest one on planet Earth.
What if I have a dart that's 7.5 feet that I could just put and poke into the dartboard?
That I don't think is legal.
Well, I don't know. You said there was not really parameters for this stuff.
Well, Joe, there is a parameter.
There's ways of getting around all this stuff.
I know, because okay. I'm not as specific.
So how's Luke Littler doing now?
I don't know. It just went to commercial. I don't know the update there, unfortunately.
All right, we'll give you an update for the end of the
I believe he's on the cusp of, you know.
Chase from White Bluff says Marlboro Red is a good dart.
Yeah, from what I've heard, yeah.
I thought that was a cigarette.
It is.
That's and a dart?
That's what he's referring to. You refer to darts as cigarettes? Come on now.
So that's not a real dart?
No.
Oh, okay.
Marlboro Red? Come on, man.
I don't know. I really don't know this whole world.
Target is the top darts company.
Okay. What about Walmart?
Not the Target down the street. There's an actual company called Target.
Okay. All right. Let's take a break. Thank you for that. We'll check in the bottom of the show or at the end of the show. Sean Henry, Nashville Predators up next. A lot of good things happen with the Preds. We'll talk to Sean Henry. When we come back, Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5 The Game. All right, welcome back to the Chase and Big Joe Show. Got a couple more segments with you real quick here. And the best segment, we saved the best for last, as we always do. Let's bring in, I'm not sure, he's had a bunch of titles for the Nashville Predators over the years. He gets getting promoted, but he'll always be our best friend, the great, the legendary Sean Henry's on the phone with us. Sean, good afternoon. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing well, guys. How are you?
We're doing fine, man. I know you're on a beach somewhere. You sent me a picture. It looks like Nashville Shores.
It's close to Nashville Shores, only about 11 hours away. Yeah, right down the road. I got the full year pass. You know, you go one time and buy the full year for $5 more.
Oh, I think that's great. Hey, look, we got a lot to talk about. First of all, Steven Stamkos, I don't think we realize how incredible getting 600 goals is. 22nd NHL. You were in Tampa when they drafted him, and basically he was just a kid, right?
Yeah, as well as really, really cool things. Unfortunately, we knew we'd have the first-round pick or the first pick months before the draft started. We were not a good team that year, and it was before the lottery. And so we actually did a campaign called Team Stamkos, where a lot of people in Tampa didn't know who he was, never heard of him before, despite an incredible junior career. And we had about a month build-up into the draft, maybe 2 months. So it was a lot of fun, and we were between owners at the time. So I had like this really, really bizarre privilege of introducing him to Tampa and the media for the first time ever with his parents, and it was a really great day. You knew he was going to be a really good player, a special player, but even on your most optimistic day, you never would have thought he was going to score 600 goals, you know, do all the things he's done in his career. I mean, he's a special player and a really special person, too. We're lucky to have him.
I know when the guys return home on Thursday, January the 8th, versus the Islanders, you're going to honor Steven during the – I mean, he's probably got so many honors. This is amazing.
Yeah, it's fun. You know, he celebrated 1,000 points, 1,000 games. But 600 goals, you know, for a goal scorer, again, 22 guys have done it in the history of the game. And to be able to celebrate him in front of our fans, it's going to be a really nice evening. And ideally, we can't off with a win and – who knows, maybe another hat trick with, you know, we lead the league in hat tricks this year.
Yeah, would that be
free chicken going out?
That'd be fantastic. All right, now that we turn the calendar, we turn our sights toward the Olympics that are happening. The Predators got four guys on the Olympic team. But again, this is, you got all these moving pieces coming together. The NHL, the IOC, and all the broadcast partners are working to make this special, really, for the hockey and for the Olympics. What are they doing in collaboration to make sure people know, like, Philip Forsberg is from Sweden, but he also plays for the Nashville Predators?
So I give our league so much credit. You know, the players wanted to go back to the Olympics. We wanted to be back in the Olympics. We wanted to make sure that our guys would be showcased properly. And we're shutting the season down for almost a month. You want to make sure that, you know, the guys that are playing for the country in the middle of their season, right before the playoffs start, get the right recognition for themselves, their families. They're also proud for playing for the country. We want to make sure that we all work so closely together. And I think the way they have announced the rosters with the collaboration with the IOC, Players Union, and then, of course, the NHL, has been pretty cool because it's special, you know, for Philip to play for his country after just being there a few weeks ago playing in front of, you know, his family. We want to make sure that he's celebrated properly along with the Preds. And it's going to be great, you know, to see, you know, four of our guys on the world stage, and hopefully they'll come home with medals.
Absolutely. Sean Henry's with us here on Chase and Big Joe Show. Do you have a favorite Olympic memory by chance, Sean?
You know, if you're my age, I bet Joe's favorite memory is probably pretty similar. It was the Miracle on Ice, of course. You know, we all thought we were there live and watched and heard the call. You know, it was on tape delay, but we all knew the news. That was really special. I was probably, I guess, just turned 12 years old, so it was wonderful.
Yeah, and to add on to that, obviously another wonderful thing is the Preds are 12-6-0 in the last 18 games, fighting for a playoff spot. Obviously a slow start, but 1 point out of a wild card position. It's got to be good to be in that position, right?
Well, winning a hockey game is a lot more fun than not. Just that simple. And, yeah, you know, the past month or so has been a long time coming. You know, we thought we could do what we're doing right now. But what I'm excited about, more than just the wins, is how we're getting them. It's the entire roster is coming together. You're getting scoring up and down the line. You get some defensive plays that are incredible. Goaltending is back. It's just, it's fun to watch. And it's fun to watch young players emerge while you're watching future Hall of Famers set, you know, records with 600 goals and, you know, guys playing in their 200th game or 200th assist, 700th this. I mean, every player seems doing something special every single night, from personal celebration or just propelling us to another win. And again, this road trip's been long, been hard, but so far it's been a really good one.
You can be honest with us, Sean. After announcing Nick Saban before the away trip, that was the issue, right? They just had to announce Nick Saban, and the rest is history.
Well, there are a lot of people taking credit for it right now, myself included. but it's fun when Nick was asked about it. He just smiles. You know, that guy is better with the media than anyone I've ever seen. I don't know about you guys. But, you know, having him join the ownership group is incredible, too. I think Bruno summed it up so well. He said, when you have a guy with that pedigree that literally can do anything he wants, I mean, offers go out to him every single hour, and this is something that he pursued and chased for a little while, and it's great to add someone like that to the ownership group because, you know, he's not just a winner. He's a quality person that sees things in very simple ways. There's right ways to do things and wrong ways, and whenever you get a chance to sit with him and just listen, it's a pleasure. But he has not addressed our team yet. Maybe if we lose a game or two, we'll get him down there doing that. But he was at our prospect camp, spent a day with all of our coaches and scouts at all levels. And that was pretty neat to watch and be a part of.
I just think it's really cool when he's on – we're all watching College Game Day. Everybody watches College Game Day. But to devote part of a segment in the middle of the show to the Nashville Predators and Nick Saban, and I don't say, you know, but you can't buy that type of promotion, right?
You know, he said it in his press conference. I think you were there. And, oh, yeah, you were sitting sandwiched with George Plaster with me. Like he said, that sure doesn't hurt, does it? And, of course, it doesn't. You know, whenever you're put on a stage bigger than what you normally are, it's good. Maybe it brings in another fan or two. Maybe it makes someone take notice to what we have going on because we have going on is pretty special. You have eight guys playing in World Juniors as well. That's most of any NHL team in the league. So we're starting to play really with the NHL level. Milwaukee's playing well. But the future's really bright, you know, with all of our young guys, too. So when a guy like that mentions our franchise and the organization and his, you know, involvement with us, it makes a few new people tune in.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? I felt bad because I had a question I should have asked when I asked Saban about skating. I should have said, Coach, I understand this is the second Tennessee team you own.
That's a pretty good one. I'm sorry. I was mid-swallow. I'm on the beach, so I'm drinking a beer while I talk to you guys.
That's okay.
As all sports radio should be.
I missed an opportunity because he beat Tennessee every year but like one.
Well, someone else asked him a question about, and you want to talk about the 16 or 17 times you beat Tennessee? He said, no, I want to talk about the one time they beat me. I hated it. But that's who he is, right? Like that, when you hear that, you get fired up. I don't care what you do in the organization. You hear a guy like that, and he means that. That wasn't a joke.
Right.
He really meant it, like it bothered him. And it's funny how intense he is still, and I love that he's choosing to spend some time with us.
Absolutely. Sean Henry's with us. All right, the Preds on the road for a few days. Come back January 8th versus the Islanders, Dirk's Bentley bobblehead night. And those are always fun. The Nate Bargatze one was fun. I mean, I keep telling everybody all the time, the hockey games in the arena, and I've told you this a million times, I mean, there's nothing like this in the city, the excitement, the fun. And when you guys are winning, I mean, the night when Stamkos scored the four goals, Sean, I mean, that was such an electric, fun night in the arena. It's always good when you guys are home. Again, you talk about how much better it is when you guys are winning, but getting on this run, and I mean, it's going to be a lot of fun this second half because the guys are playing better. There's a little momentum, and there's nothing like playoff hockey in Nashville.
I'll tell you, Brittany Austin, who's our vice president of marketing and our whole game ops team and everyone, they've made every game a little bit more special over the past couple of years, and there's something unique for everyone. And, again, the core is hockey, 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 and, of course, you want to win. But when you start surrounding it with celebrating Steven Stamkos, sending our Olympians off, you know, to go play, Dirks Bentley, who's such a hockey fan, good friend of the organization's, and you celebrate him, his career, and what he's done with us and around us, it makes that game a little bit more fun. Again, what makes it even more fun, we all get a lot of food, maybe some Frosties, and you win the game and hands go up.
There you go.
Absolutely. Sean Henry joins us here on the Chase and McJoe Show. Sean, appreciate the time. Enjoy a nice pina colada or two on the beach, and make sure SPF 50, okay? Nothing below that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, I can stay on for another segment if you guys want to talk darts again. That was riveting. I appreciate that.
Thank you. Sean, that made
me
feel – I
do like what you're bringing to the show, man. Who, like, someday people are going to say, like, Wally Pipp and Chase McCabe in the same sentence, right? Who the heck was Chase McCabe? It's great to have you on here, Dr.
Brilliant.
Frazier.
Thank you very much, brilliant. Sean. I appreciate it, man.
Sean, thank you, my man.
See you, guys. Thanks.
All right. Sean Henry, always good to talk to you.
See, there's somebody who likes the darts.
I just think it's cool that, and look, we've known Sean and loved him for years, but it doesn't happen where get the damn president of the team comes on each week and talks about what's happening, good or bad. Good or bad, all that. So we don't mind it. What's up next, buddy?
Right now, I'll just give you a little score update because I told you I'd give you one.
Yeah.
Luke Littler is up 4-1 on the set. He just needs to get to 5 to move on to the championship. Right now, he has 117. Now he's dropped it down to 59. So he needs a 19 and a double 20 checkout. He loves the – they call it tops in darts terms.
They call it tops someplace else, too.
That. But this tops is the top of the board. Double 20 checkout, and he's good to go. So,
do they drug test?
That's a great question.
I'm saying no.
I'm saying no myself.
I'm thinking the more Guinness and more little
and it's over.
Wacky tobacco.
It's over now.
He won?
He won that leg. Sorry, it's not over.
Okay.
He just one leg closer.
All right. Coming up next, what day is it? Celebrity birthdays, America's favorite segment. That's next right here, 102.5 The Game.
Back here on the Chase and Big Joe Show, wrapping up with what day is it in celebrity birthdays. As always, it's America's favorite game.
And it is.
We keep telling Steve Harvey, look, as much as you love the show, you can't have it.
Trying to buy it, man. I'm like, no, stay away. Celebrity birthdays really is amazing. Sean Henry, man, he's just us, except he makes $5 million a year, but he's just us.
I'll hold the dollar.
That's right.
Yeah.
We'll do all that. You know what time for?
Yeah, I'm ready for
Brando,
it.
Brando, hit it, brother.
Okay, yeah. First on the list, we have 55 mile per hour speed limit day. So, you know, if you can just speed limit, just get right at 55.
Yeah.
Let's see. Happy Mew Year for Cats Day.
Oh, yeah, for kitty cats.
Yeah, I'm not a big cats guy.
Really not a big – they're not a big Frasier guy either.
Yeah, not that. National Buffet Day is today, a buffet.
I did the Chinese buffet yesterday by myself. Wonderful. Got no friends. Love it.
I went to a Chinese restaurant myself.
Did you really?
I did. Orange chicken.
Not bad.
When you get a lot of it, not great.
Get it.
National Motivation and Inspiration Day. There you
That's like, so like the guy that lives in a van down by the river.
Yeah. National Personal Trainer Awareness Day.
Hello.
Shout out to the personal trainers. National Run It Up the Flagpole and See If Anybody Salutes It Day. So you can put anything on a flagpole.
What are we running up?
Anything.
What are we saluting?
Exactly.
What's an after-hour segment?
Yeah. All right. National Science Fiction Day. World Introvert Day. Swiss Cheese Day is today.
Do you like Swiss cheese?
It's all right. Yeah, on certain sandwiches.
Is that molded?
No, that's blue cheese.
Blue cheese has to be mold?
Yeah, that's molded cheese. Not eating that.
All right.
Last but not least, National Cream Puff Day. Joe loves his cream puffs.
Oh, yeah. So, evidently, so does Ohio State, right?
Yeah.
Since you're very mad at all them.
Yeah.
All right, time for celebrity birthdays. Brando, you ready for this?
Oh, I'm ready to roll. First of the year.
All right, yeah. Hey, listen, man, I tell you all the time, it's an honor and a privilege to be part of this. A lot of people have asked. Sean Henry's never been part of celebrity birthdays.
I think
never.
You're number 6 on the list.
Yep. It's pretty good. It's like Doctor Who, all those nerds that watch Doctor Who. All right, here we go. First birthday. Dr. Crane, you go first. Former Dallas Cowboy, dad of Grant Hill, former Dallas Cowboy Calvin Hill.
49.
74. 79.
Wow.
Brando, Craig James, former SMU running back, the original host of College Game Day.
Nice. Ooh, 61.
66.
65. Dr. Crane's up on nothing. Dr. Crane, former Mets pitcher David Cone.
62.
71. 63. Dr. Crane's up 2-0 over the Brando. Brando, one of the best hitters of all time in baseball. Edgar Martinez.
Ooh, Edgar Martinez. 55.
59.
63. Dr. Crane, she played Andrea Zuckerman on Beverly Hills 90210, one of the greatest TV shows of all time. Gabrielle Cartieris.
67.
62.
65. Dr. Crane knows his 90210 characters. For you now, Brando, Tia Carrere, she was in Wayne's World. Beautiful, beautiful woman.
58.
57.
59. Oh. Brando's on the board. You get to go now, Dr. Crane. Beautiful model, Christy Turlington.
43.
49.
57. Brando, actor Tay Diggs.
Tay Diggs. 42.
41.
55. Dr. Crane, Dax Shepard.
37?
56. 51. Brando, Kate Bosworth, the actress. By the way, you guys are terrible. Kate Bosworth, the actress.
49.
Related to Brian Bosworth, by chance?
No.
Really? 49.
43. I think he said 49, too.
I did.
Oh, did he? 48,
too late.
Sorry.
Too late. 43 is her age. Here we go. By the way, up 3-1. Dr. Crane, Cuba Gooding Jr. What was his name in Jerry Maguire, the actor? Rod Tidwell. Cuba Gooding Jr.
59.
56.
58. Dr. Crane's up 4-1. Brando, singer, lead singer Doug Robb of Hoobastank.
51.
50.
51, exactly. Ooh. It's now 4-3. So here we go. Last one. Brando, you get to go. You're down 4-3. How old is musician Trombone Shorty?
Ooh, Trombone Shorty. Let's go 48.
50.
40. We got one more here. All right.
Uh-oh.
4-3. Brando, you get to go. Jack Hanna, zookeeper. He was on TV for a long time. Here he's suffering with a little Alzheimer's, so we don't see much of him, unfortunately. But he was great when he did the stuff on TV. Jack Hanna.
I'm going to go with 82.
77.
79. Dr. Crane's wins 5-3. Good job, guys.
Well done.
Well played. Well played.
Yeah. Dr. Crane, you feel better?
1-0 in the year.
You are 1-0 in the year.
Yeah.
But good job of you, buddy.
Hey, good job for you, Joe. Proud of you.
Yeah, okay. The College Football Talk continues with a show that knows what they're talking about. That's be called DVD, unlike the nonsense we just sat through for 3 hours. But anyway, thanks, everybody. Hope you have a great new year. And listen, we continue our message in the 26 for Men and Mental Health. Please go talk to somebody if you are struggling. Please, I did it. It changed my life. I want the same for you. We tell you all the time that your journey is your journey. It's a beautiful journey. And sometimes there are bumpy roads, but I'm telling you, that road clears out, and it's a beautiful road. That's why we need you here. As I say all the time, this is harsh. I'd rather hear your story than go to your funeral. That's why I need you here. We love you. Remember, more importantly, more than anything else in this world, God loves you. DVD's next.